Kingdom Pursuits, where you hear from ordinary people instilled with an extraordinary passion. Together, we explore the stories of men and women who take what they love and let God turn their passion into kingdom pursuits. Now, live from the Truth Booth, your host, Robbie Dillmore.
Welcome to Kingdom Pursuits, where we hear how God takes your passion and uses it to build the kingdom. And we have three phenomenal guests today. I'm really, really excited about this show and where God may take it. First off, we have Rick Eldridge, and Rick is the producer and CEO of RealWorks Studios. And they have a new movie coming out called When We Last Spoke, which features Melissa Gilbert, you may remember from Little House on the Prairie, and another movie called The Trump Prophecy. Welcome, Rick.
Hey, thank you. Good to be here.
So it sounds like you're traveling today.
A little bit. I'm going to see if I can make our connection a little better. Hang on. That any better?
Oh, yeah. That's fine.
Good.
That's okay. So we're excited.
Waiting on you.
I am very excited about these movies because I've saw that the stars that you have lined up in When We Last Spoke.
That was so much fun. It's a period 60s movie, so every day was like being on a car lot. We had all these 60s cars at a car show, 60s costumes and music. We licensed about 20 songs from the 60s. So a lot of fun, and it's a great story.
So we're going to find out about When We Last Spoke. We're going to find out about the Trump prophecy. But next up, we have Frederick, and I'm not even going to try your last name, Frederick. Go ahead and tell us, Frederick.
Robbie, my name is Frederick Ezeji Okoye. Ezeji Okoye.
Ezeji Okoye?
That's it. That's
all right.
It. You got it.
But I love the title of his book, which is Who Prays for the Pastor? And a topic that is definitely on his heart, but it's also on the heart of the man sitting across from me, who is Walker Armstrong with the Pilot Mountain Baptist Association. They have a revitalized conference coming up for pastors and other church leaders with Mark Clifton and Steve Green. It's coming up Tuesday, March 26th. So, Walker, this is near and dear to your heart because you've been working with pastors for a lot of years.
A lot of years. Been a pastor, been a church planner, been a youth pastor, associate pastor, been a lot of things in the church. And one of the things we do is we try to encourage pastors, you know, on a weekly basis.
Right. So you can see we've got a lot going on with pastors, and then we have these wonderful movies. And, of course, if it's Kingdom Pursuits, we got to have a riddle. So speaking of real, the land where RealWorks movies are made, think about it, it's called real estate. In so many different ways. And I don't know if you knew this, but the sardine factory reeled in job applicants by promoting them that they have a can-do atmosphere there at the sign. The sardine, you know, kind of thing. Anyway, my daughter told me that anesthesiologist, that's this one that worked at the hospital where there was a real knockout. You think about it, that's what it's real, right? And lifelong counterfeiters will tell you they never make any real money. They never do. And you knew at the end of all those shenanigans, I would actually have a riddle for you to call in and win today. So let's get real. In what book of the Bible do drunks reel to and fro for real? If you know the answer to that, we have a new number today. So heads up, 336-896-0830. I apologize, our 800 number is on the fritz or whatever. So we need you to call a new number. If you know, let's get real. In what book of the Bible do drunks reel to and fro for real? 866-348-7884. And I might just throw in a little hint. There's two different books where that takes place, not just one. So, hey, challenging. 336-896-0830. So, Rick, your other movie, The Trump Prophecy, that one jumps on out there.
So a lot of fun. We did this around the midterm election we released and did a Fathom release 2 days across America in about 800 theaters. it was sold out all over the country. It was a great experience, great time. And the movie's really more about bringing people together around praying for our nation, praying for its leadership. And so at its core, that's really the message.
Well, that's fascinating because it's kind of at its core what both of our other guests are talking about. We're praying for leadership, right? Praying for pastors, praying for the and interestingly, Rick, I understand that a week after next is the NRB, and you're going to be out there in Los
That's
Angeles.
Right.
I'm going to be out there, so hopefully I'll get to meet you.
That'd be great.
As there are going to be a whole lot of pastors, there's going to be a whole lot of leaders, of religious, you know, folks in leadership across the country. So that's a wonderful opportunity. Well, Frederick, I'm interested in your book. How are you a pastor yourself, or how did God put it on your heart to write this?
Robbie, I'm an evangelist, and I worked with my pastor then, and he had an issue going on, and we tried fixing that, but we couldn't. Then, and this happened on a Saturday. Then, there on a Sunday morning, he was out there preaching, you know, praying with all his heart. And I'm right there beside him, you know, while people were coming, he was laying his hand, you know, praying for them. And that dropped in my heart. Who prays for the pastor? I mean, it was so heavy that I couldn't recover from it. I was going back home from service that morning, you know, crying. And right there, it dawned on me that the Lord wants something greater than what I am thinking. And this was actually in 2009. And to God be the glory, we now have, you know, an environment every month where leaders, pastors, ministers, they just come in. We encourage them. We respect titles, but don't wear your title. Just come in as a child of God. So we create that environment, and we worship God in truth and in spirit. And we now realize that pastors are free, you know, to communicate their burden, you know, to ask for prayers, because it's very difficult for a pastor to ask the congregation to pray for him or her. So, but this environment where we have created for leaders to come out, you know, is such a great opportunity where they come, pour out their heart. You know, we encourage one another. We hear the word that will edify us, you know, the real word. Do we practice what we preach, you know?
And
that's
so
exactly what we do.
That's interesting. Walker, you're up to the same kind of thing, right? With this Revitalized coming up.
Yeah, well, it's been estimated that 80% of Protestant churches in the United States are plateaued, declined, or dying. And when you begin to kind of try to soak that in, it's pretty overwhelming. And we have 94 churches in our association in six counties, and that number pretty much plays out in our situation. And so when pastors are overwhelmed, they feel kind of paralyzed, not really sure what to do to address the problems that create this decline in the church. And so we're trying to be proactive in helping churches do that.
So this event, right, is $25. Mm-hmm. And by the way, we didn't tell them what they'd win, Rachel. Did we? How could I? I gave out the number to call, but Rachel, you tell them what they can win if they answer our riddle today.
Well, they can win their choice between Frederick's book, Who Prays for the Pastor, or two tickets to the Revitalized Conference.
There you go. Two tickets to the that's a $50 value.
It is a $50 value. Yeah.
And so, yeah, if they come, you've got, right, Mark Clifton and Steve Green. What are those people going to hear?
Well, Mark Clifton heads the revitalization and replanting team at the North American Mission Board in the Atlanta area. It's the Southern Baptist American or North American Mission Agency. And so that group has led the charge in replanting over 200 dying churches last year. So he'll be our key speaker.
Wow. So a lot more coming up on Praying for Your Pastor and the Pilot Mountain Association's conference, as well as I'm going to find out more from Rick Eldridge on Real Work Studios when we last spoke in the Trump prophecy. But we are waiting on your call. 336-896-0830. We're talking real here. Welcome back to Kingdom Pursuits, where we hear how God takes your passion and uses it to build the kingdom. Today, we're so blessed to have with us Walker Armstrong. Stu calls him Walker, North Carolina Ranger. Pilot Mountain Baptist Association's Revitalize for Your Church with Mark Clifton and Steve Green. Anybody that is interested in leadership in a church, believe me, this is really provoking what they're going to share. It's coming up on the 26th of March, Tuesday, from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. Tickets are $25. You can find out more about that, as well as Who Prays for the Pastor, the book by Frederick, I won't try his last name, his book is there at kingdompursuits.com, as well as Rick Eldridge's movies, the new releases, When We Last Spoke, and The Trump Prophecy. But Rick, just a little bit on the storyline on When We Last Spoke. What's that movie about?
Yeah, it's based on a book, and setting is the 60s. Two orphan little girls. Dad goes to Vietnam. Mom decides, I can't handle this country life, and goes back to New York and drops the kids off with their grandparents. The grandparents happen to be played by the character Corbin Bean. Burnson plays the grandfather, and then Melissa Gilbert plays the grandmother. And they're in this two-bedroom, little small ranch home. And great-grandmother, which is Cloris Leachman, who has dementia, comes and joins. So you've got this generational issue with these young girls all the way to this 92-year-old grandmother with dementia, great-grandmother. And so it's a connectivity of all of these interrelationships and a lot of fun. There's a lot of comedy in it. But at the end of the day, it's a story of these two young girls who deal with forgiveness and redemption in their own lives through the course of all that happens to them. But it's a wonderful story, setting in the 60s. So you've got great cars. Like I said earlier, it's like a car show every day on set.
I like that, being the Christian car guy. I get that. Yeah. So yeah. It's fascinating. I it kind of blows me away to think, here we have Melissa Gilbert. When I think of her, I think of her as the little girl from the 60s.
Yeah. Yeah. It was really fun for our young actors, Darby and Carolyn, who played the younger roles. Melissa really was a great mentor to them because she had been right where they are. So that dynamic was really a lot of fun, too.
That is just beyond cool. And so when is that movie coming out?
That'll be third quarter of this year, and it'll be in theaters all over the country, and then, of course, everywhere else DVDs are sold. But, we're excited about that. We're just starting to ramp up the marketing piece of it, just finished the edit and finished the movie, and beginning to screen it a few places here and there.
So it's interesting that you're mentioning the generational issue at hand, and during the break, Walker and I were talking about, wow, three generations ago, the church situation was completely different than it is today. And share what you were talking about, the churches that are failing. 70% of them are in urban areas.
Yeah, within our particular denomination, we just got research a week ago, fresh research that in 2017, of the 855 churches reported closing, so we knew there were more, of those reporting, over 70% were in urban areas. And what that means is that in those urban areas that are going through a lot of change and a lot of turmoil, they lose the presence of a church in that area, and that's a significant blow to that community.
Yeah, think of what that means for the families, and individuals in that whole generational thing. And so here we have a guy, right? This Mark Clifton. Mm-hmm. And say it again, 200 churches were revitalized over...
Yeah, so last year, the revitalization and replanting team helped to replant dying churches, over 200 dying churches across the United States, and recapture and rescue those churches.
That's great.
It's really, and so some of what's going on there, obviously, prayer, if we can connect with God, you can't hardly get any closer than that, right, Frederick? That's got to be the where the rubber meets the road right there, as I'm sure you're listening to this thinking.
Definitely. definitely. There's no way we can take away praying.
Yeah, we can't take away praying. So as you started to process that into writing a book, I mean, it's pretty easy for me to say, pray for your pastor. In fact, I have a good friend. He's got a pray for your pastor tour bus that drives around and says, text this and pray for your pastor. But I'm fascinated by an entire book on the subject. Can you take us inside your book a minute and share a little bit what's in there?
Yeah, I'm going to take the family priority as one of the chapters that I wrote in there. I actually brought out myself in certain mistakes I made as a minister. Now, I used to think then that ministry is first for me. And I am so passionate about my calling. And I found my family deteriorating till I had a man of God who actually passed through divorce. And, you know, he poured out himself on the mistake that he made. And I realized that I myself, I am going through that route. And definitely, I have to retrace myself. And because we meet monthly, I still have a man of God who came and really spoke to us as ministers and pastors that, hey, family is the priority. You know,
what a phenomenal point you just brought up, Frederick. And I want to speak to that a second. And since I got Walker here and also Rick, you know, feel free, guys, to chime in anywhere that you feel it necessary. But the very man I was talking about, that his ministry is to pastors, his name's Andy Bowersox. He's one of my best friends, actually. And I went on a cruise with him, and this was a Pray for Your Pastor cruise thing, and had all these pastors on board. Now, I know Andy. He's a good friend, right? And so I know his family real well. And so my wife and I are out on the deck, and I'm watching the loneliness of his son wanting, where is daddy? Where is daddy? Because daddy's ministering to the pastors, okay? And I couldn't help but think to myself, oh, man, Andy, you're not going to have that little boy but so many years. And, yeah, what you're doing for pastors is gigantic. There's no doubt that that's huge.
And
but
that
I wish that somebody had said, Robbie, it's not about selling 10 more cars. It's so much about your own family. And if you're a pastor, right? Walker, I'm sure you see the same thing.
When I went to seminary 600 years ago, I was at a marriage conference on orientation for new seminary students and their spouses. And one of the founders of Christian Counseling, John Drakeford, and his wife did this panel discussion. They said, look to the left of you, and look to the right of you, one of you will be divorced in 5 years. And I was offended by that at first. I thought it was ridiculous. And then he went on to report that next to doctors, there was a dead heat at that time between professionals of lawyers and ministers going through divorce. I experienced that 20 years later in my life. And so it's
you,
a big
Rick?
Deal.
Does that call home at all to you? Are you still with us, Rick?
Yeah, I'm here. I think that I deal with a lot of close friends and churches around the country, because of the work that I do and the travel that I do too. And yeah, it does. And I think what people don't realize a lot is that anyone in leadership, is in many ways lonely, because they're kind of at the, they're sitting in the chair where everyone needs something from them or needs a word of wisdom or whatever it happens to be, and yet they have no one to go to and no one to really be able to open their heart and share with. And I think what Frederick is doing as far as praying and lifting up pastors is so needed. And understanding the position of anyone in leadership, whether it's a corporate leadership or in any regard, someone that sits at that head of that that organization is probably a very lonely person at their core.
Yeah, I having run several car dealerships, which is completely different, but yeah, you are there. You are, and the responsibilities that you feel can so easily outweigh that of being the leader of your family that it, you know, in your mind, but it's a scary thing. So, you know, that praying for people in leadership or attending conferences, you know, it's like, this is really helpful that God is putting these things on Frederick's heart, that they're putting them on the Pilot Mountain Baptist Association. And again, I love the idea of the movie, but we got to get real here because nobody has called in. It could be this phone number. I really had a struggle with it in the Christian Car Guy show. So I'm testing to see if you know the answer to this riddle, but also to see if we're still having trouble with our phones. It's 336-896-0830 is the number to call in and tell us, let's get real. In what book of the Bible do drunks reel to and fro for real? 336-896-0830. And since I didn't get to hear my Price is Right music, you know, we can tell them once again what they'll win. Can you do it? Do you mind? Because it just makes me feel good when I hear that. And I, you know, it's one of those things. She's getting it ready. So that there you go. What will they win, Rachel?
Well, they have their choice between Frederick's book, Who Prays for the Pastor, or two tickets to the Revitalize Conference.
Again, I would mention, if you go to kingdompursuits.com, it's a wonderful resource because you can order Frederick's book. You can find out about these movies, how they're promoted on Facebook and YouTube and all these different things. You can watch the trailers. You can find out about the Pilot Mountain Association Revitalize Conference, about Steve Green and all these people. That's coming up Tuesday, all there at kingdompursuits.com. What a resource. Oh, my goodness. And my jokes are there. And puns. So, kingdompursuits.com. So much more Kingdom Pursuits coming up. Stay tuned. Kingdom Pursuits, where we hear how God takes your passion and uses it to build the kingdom. And we have poster children for that today. We have Rick Eldridge, who is the producer, CEO of Real Works Studios. Their new releases, When We Last Spoke and The Trump Prophecy. You may know their movie. I think it was The Gift. Is that the movie I'm thinking about, Rick, that you guys had such... That was a tremendous movie.
Well, thank you. Yeah, we released that around the midterm elections last year. And in fact, just last week, Walmart did an in-cap placement of the DVD. We recently released the hard good DVD. So it's available, you know, now on DVD and anywhere you buy a product online with Amazon or iTunes or whatever. Or just go to your Walmart and pick it up on the shelf. So it's available out there now.
So what a gutsy thing. I mean, when you really get down to it, you know, it's one thing for God to give you a passion to, you know, like be on the radio. But I think about, man, to be in your industry that has so many working parts and so many different things, how did God lead you where you are? I'm curious.
Well, you know, my involvement in the entertainment industry started with music. I was a musician and did concerts and recorded early in the 70s and 80s, and late 70s and 80s. And then, you know, through a process of meeting engineers and stuff in studios, I was asked one day to score a movie. And, you know, seeing visuals to my music just kind of brought things to life in a different way and kind of led me to transition. I was in Orlando, so I worked at the time as on the back lot and ran production at Universal Studios on the back lot, and wound up working with both Disney and Universal there in the Orlando area as the studios were growing and building. So it was kind of a right place, right time, but God used me there. I tell people I used to tell stories that were 3 minutes and they were called songs. Now I tell stories that are 2 hours and we call them movies. But same thing, we're telling stories, and in many ways, that's how Jesus communicated in the Bible. You know, many times you would hear him talking to someone, a stranger who would come up and ask him a question, and he would begin by telling a story. And about halfway through the story, the stranger would say, wait a minute, he's talking about me. And you realize that parables, which were his stories, are a big part of the Bible and a big part of the way that Jesus would teach.
Rich Cristiano put it one time like this. He said, when I was interviewing him, he said, you know, ask anybody if they can remember, you know, three words or even the scripture of, you know, 3 weeks ago, the pastor's sermon, and then ask them if they know the dog's name in the movie Wizard of Oz, and you're going to find out that stories have a lot of power. That, you know, right. That's just there's things that are really there. But interestingly, yeah. You know, the more gifted speakers use stories, you know, when you hear those sermons as well. So
right.
I have to ask the other question, because it appears to me you spell your name the same as John Eldridge. Is there any relation?
You know, John and I have done a lot of work with the same publishers, and the head of the publishing department, Mark Hyde, got us together one time. This was back when he was at Thomas Nelson in Nashville, and we tried to figure it out. And I'm sure, probably somewhere way down the line, fifth or sixth cousins. We couldn't find the trace, but I'm sure it's there somewhere.
That's awesome. And he is, you know, another one of the people that God's really, really gifted to do a lot for the kingdom.
Absolutely.
So, Frederick, getting back to your, you have the thing on family. What's another impact area for praying for your pastor, do you think?
Stress. I brought out the fact that many a times pastors keep giving without receiving. So you see a lot of pastors not reading the Bible because they want to have a personal fellowship.
I apologize for one second, because your accent is kind of hard for me, so I'm guessing there's a few listeners that missed it, but I finally think I have it. Did you say gifts? And
stress.
Giving? So gifts.
I mentioned threat.
Threats.
Threats.
Stress. Stress. Oh,
yes.
Okay. Now we got it. I apologize. Stress.
So you find out that many a time pastors keep giving without receiving. In other words, they preach because they have a sermon to preach. They don't really spend time with the Holy Spirit to receive. So when they keep giving, they get to a point where they are burnt out. Now, all they do is all about giving up. Now, like all the conferences, you know, you mentioned about the conference of March 26th, you know,
right.
Which is, in, you know, actually meant for leaders. You find out that leaders don't really attend conferences where they are not preaching. They only attend when you have a slot for them to preach. So their life is all about giving up. They don't receive.
Yeah, so
that is one of the problems why you see them burning out.
So they there you go. Walker is shaking his head over here like, oh my, yes, oh yes, yes, yes. Walker, what do you say?
Yeah, I think he's exactly right, and I think coupled with that is isolation. We run into pastors all the time that give up abruptly, or they have a train wreck in their lives, and if you look beyond the symptoms, you find causes of a sense of failure, a sense of a lack of productivity and success, and so that stress coupled with isolation is a recipe for disaster. You know, like I said earlier, 80% of churches in the United States are plateaued, declining, or dying in Protestant churches. And oftentimes, though, when pastors are experiencing that in their church, they often feel like they're the only one. And that creates, I think the enemy uses that to get pastors by themselves and start talking to themselves instead of spending time with God, and instead of spending time with fellow pastors who are in the battle with them. And we're trying to change that.
Yeah, that community is, God didn't mean for any of us to do this as the Lone Ranger.
That's right.
It's a fascinating thing that you had mentioned, Fredericus. You know, they preach about it all the time, but then, you know, it's a really hard thing. to stay connected and to take that time when you're being pressured for your time from your family, you're being pressured for your time to visit these people in the hospital, you're being pressured for all sorts of different, you know, events, and without God to guide you through that, that's a hard thing. And so prayer is just, you know, as I think about the heart of what you're writing about, Frederick, that's huge.
Yeah, I see that in the film industry a lot too, where you've got actors who you know, people put on pedestals, and they, you know, they think, boy, this guy's got it all together. He's got the look, he's got everything else. But then when you get them alone, they're very insecure and about themselves, and of course everything about them is about performance and what they've done last or next. And I find that in many times that translates to all kinds of leadership, and especially to pastors too. And you know, where you get them alone, and they're very insecure in many ways about their own selves. And I get that. We need to come around them. They need the accountability and the connectivity, just like all of us do.
Yeah, I can't remember the girl's name. She was a Disney star, and I interviewed her a number of years ago. And near the end of the interview, I said, "Can I pray for you?" And she went into tears and said,
"Wow.
Nobody has ever asked me that."
Wow.
And then she went on to tell me all the different temptations that she faces as a star. I never even thought about it, but wow, you know, what a call to pray for people in leadership, or, you know, and not realize that actors are a big part of what they do is in temptation. So great call. All right. Well, what a fun time today on Kingdom Pursuits. We'll be right back with a whole lot more. Welcome back to Kingdom Pursuits, where we hear how God takes your passion and uses it to build the kingdom. Today, we are so blessed, really blessed, to have these wonderful guests who are poster children for that. Walker Armstrong with the Pilot Mountain Baptist Association, whose Revitalized Conference is coming up with Mark Clinton and Steve Green, March 26th. That's a Tuesday. It starts at 9, goes to 3. The tickets are $25. You could get free ones. All you have to do is answer my riddle. Let's get real. In what book of the Bible do drunks reel to and fro for real? 336-896-0830. And then we have Frederick. Ezeji Okoyo.
That's me.
Who Prays for the Pastor? His book, again, at kingdompursuits.com. And Rick Eldridge, producer and CEO of Real Work Studios. That's R-E-E-L. Real Work Studios. And their new releases, When We Last Spoke, and The Trump Prophecy. Oh, we lost Rick somehow. But we still have Frederick. You're still with us?
Yeah, I'm here. Yes.
All right. Well, I was asking Walker what he was excited about. I think we should talk about that, and we'll see. We'll ask you that question next, and hopefully we'll get Rick and ask him the question. I said, what are you really excited about? What's coming up that's going to be cool? And you were telling us about, you got a marriage retreat coming up for pastors.
Yeah, June 7th through 9th, we have a marriage retreat for pastors and spouses up at the Cove, the Billy Graham Evangelistic Training Center. It's a phenomenal place, phenomenal ministry. Dr. Gary Chapman, author of The Five Love Languages, is going to be our speaker. Richie Kingsmore, who's a phenomenal writer and producer and arranger of music, and his team are going to be up
there.
He's
the one that did Stu's Last Words of Jesus.
That's right.
For those CDs. He is
incredible.
Phenomenal. So incredible. I'm thinking, wow, what a powerhouse to have up at the Cove to take your wife and just have a hope that, you know, that's the very thing what we're talking about.
That's right.
It's family, and it's receiving,
mm-hmm.
and it's, you know, all the things that, like, Frederick wrote the book on this.
That's right. Literally.
So, Frederick, I'm curious, in your book,
yes,
what's the one thing that you are really excited about that you go, when a pastor reads this, this is going to impact him? What is it about that book that you just are so excited that people get a chance to hear?
The more for me is about revealing the truth. You see, many are giving up in the ministry. not just giving up. Many are committing suicide. So the book, for me, right now, it reveals, like, you are not alone. Many a times, like, when you isolate, you feel like everything is on me. But when you hear others talk, you now realize that, oh, there is a hope. So for me, the book is saving lives among the ministers. People who think that they are not making any headway, who feel like the ministry I'm giving up, who feel like God is no longer with me, who feel like they have made a terrible mistake, like I put in the book about David. You know, David made a terrible mistake, but he repented, and the Lord says that this is the man after my heart.
And that's the key word right there, Frederick, as I was listening to what you're saying, is that if they could get their heart back.
Yes.
If they could get, you know, like, and it's fascinating to me, Rick, that John Eldridge will tell you that, you know, movies are like a smelling salts to get our hearts back to see there is hope. And there's a big part of movies that tell that same story that Frederick started to talk about that you're doing for the general public. And so I'm curious about your own heart, Rick. What project are you on personally that really is you're excited about that's giving you your heart back?
Well, it's funny. I'm doing a project I'm writing now, which was written by Ken Blanchard and Wally Armstrong, and we'll shoot this probably next quarter, you know, providing I get the script finished. But it's a story called Mulligan, and if you played golf before, a mulligan is a do-over. It's another shot. You know, you get okay, I shanked it into the woods. Somebody's gracefully said, "Hit, drop another ball, hit it again." It's a phenomenal story. Ken Blanchard wrote One Minute Manager and has written a lot of big, you know, multi-million seller business books. And then Wally's a former PGA touring pro. And together they created this book about this corporate executive that, you know, through the game of golf, he learns about a do-over or a mulligan. But for him, it's all about getting a mulligan in life. And, I think that's important for all of us, because you know what? We're not perfect people and we're going to mess up. And we're going to make mistakes, and it takes some of that stress that Frederick's talking about to know that God offers grace, and he'll give us as many mulligans as we need. And the message of this story is you can get a mulligan on every hole.
That's good news.
I'm loving that.
Well, I am so grateful for all you guys today on Kingdom Pursuits. As I mentioned, if you go to kingdompursuits.com, actually you can find out about Mulligan and, you know, his other two releases, all about Real Work Studios. Of course, Frederick's book, Who Prays for the Pastor, you can order yours or find out how you can attend this conference. You can order the tickets right there. Just click on the link. It's at Winston-Salem, March 26th, 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. We are so grateful that you listen to Kingdom Pursuits. And I am excited how God puts these shows together. It's always amazing to me. So thank you for listening today and joining us. Now stay tuned for the Masculine Journey starts here now at 12 o'clock, followed by All Sorts of Truths.